The Brave Little Tailor and Seven at a Blow. Once there was a little tailor who was all jokes and jests, could always be relied on for a bit of fun. And he would sit in his workshop, making his needle and thread fairly fly as he worked. And one morning, as he was getting ready to have breakfast, a farmer's wife went by his window on her way to market. She was carrying a pot of jam in a basket, and it smelled so good the tailor couldn't help himself. "Oh, good morning, good woman. What are you carrying that smells so delicious?" The farmer's wife stopped. "Oh, I'm taking jam to market, Master Tailor. Would you like a taste?" "Oh, yes," he said, and handed her a bit of bread, and she spread some of that jam onto it. "Oh, thank you," said the tailor. And he put his bread on the table and went to get some milk. But by the time he returned, a swarm of flies had settled on that bread and were feasting on the jam. And when the tailor saw this, he flew into a rage. "I'll teach yous to steal my jam," he shouted. And he gave them such a blow with a fly swatter, everything trembled. And when he lifted up the swatter, seven flies lay dead. "Seven at a blow," cried the tailor, "a blow the like of which the world has never seen." And he danced a little jig. And then he had an idea. He should let everyone in the world know about his valiant deed. So he took his scissors and his needle and thread and set about making himself a beautiful belt. And on the belt, in big bow colours, he stitched the words, "Seven at a blow." "And now I shall set off into the world," the little tailor decided, and he made ready. He put his belt round his waist, cap on his head, and put some pieces of cheese into his knapsack so he wouldn't get hungry. He even slipped his little goldfinch out of its cage and into his pocket so it wouldn't die of hunger. Finally, he took his walking stick and off he set. He marched briskly down the road away from the village and about noon found himself at the foot of some high mountains. And there, in the middle of the road, there was a strange thing. If it weren't so big, I'd say that was a boot. "Oh, here's another one," he cried. And when he raised his eyes higher, he saw they were boots. And above them, a pair of knees, and above the knees, a huge stomach, and above the stomach, a pair of broad shoulders, and above them, a head. The tailor was standing in front of a giant as big as a mountain. And the little tailor was not afraid. "Hello," he shouted so the giant could hear him. "How would you like to go into the world with me?" The giant looked down at his feet to see what was making the strange noise. And he roared with laughter. "Well, you daring little pipsqueak." But the tailor didn't lose heart. "What do you call a pipsqueak? I have the strength of seven. Just look." And he showed the giant his belt. The giant was not the fastest of readers, but he did manage to read what the tailor had sewn and shook his head. "Ha, very well then, if you're so strong, let's have a contest. And if you make a good showing of yourself, I'll take you to meet my brother." "Agreed," said the tailor. "We'll see who's the stronger." The giant didn't wait. He picked up a rock from the road and with his hand squeezed it so hard, it crumbled into dust. The little tailor only laughed. "Oh, that's nothing. I can squeeze harder than that." And he bent over as though he were looking for a stone. But at the same time, he secretly drew one of the lumps of cheese out of his knapsack and squeezed it so hard that the whey ran out. The giant was astounded. Squeezing water from a stone was something he truly could not do.
"Oh, all right. If you're so strong, let's try again."
He picked up another rock and he threw it into the air so high it took an hour to come back to earth. But again the little tailor just laughed. Oh, that's nothing. I could throw higher than that. And he bent over as though he were looking for a stone. But secretly, he drew out the little goldfinch from his pocket and threw it into the air. They waited an hour and another hour. But naturally, the goldfinch did not fall back to earth. It was glad to be free and had flown off never to return. The giant was truly astonished. He could not throw a stone into the air so high it would stay up for more than 2 hours. All right, if you're so strong, we'll try one more time. If you can help me carry that uprooted oak home, we'll be friends forever. And he pointed to a huge tree that lay by the edge of the wood. The little tailor laughed. Oh, that's nothing. I can carry even more than that. You take the trunk. I'll carry the crown and the branches. They're heavier. The silly giant grasped the oak by the trunk, threw it over his shoulder and set off. As soon as its back was turned, the tailor climbed nimbly into the branches, dragging along the ground, and there he sat, as comfortable as a king. From time to time he would pant, as though he were carrying the whole tree himself, and he'd urge the giant on and scold him for not carrying his share of the weight. At last they came to the cave where the giant lived with his brother. The giant threw the tree down with a great crash and sat down upon it. He was puffing so hard he could scarcely catch his breath. But the little tailor laughed. Oh, why didn't you tell me you're so exhausted? I could have carried the whole tree myself. If I can lay low 7 at a blow, a tree like that's child's play. The giant was astonished. He could not carry an oak tree that big without puffing and panting. All right, come and meet my brother. I'll wager you've never met a fellow like him in your life. And he led the tailor into the cave. There was the brother, sitting roasting 2 oxen over a fire. He welcomed the little tailor politely, shook his head when he heard of his great strength, and gave him a huge helping of roast ox for supper. Then he was given a bed on a pile of dry leaves in the corner. The little tailor snuggled into the leaves and pretended to fall asleep. But as soon as the giants were asleep, he slipped out of bed and lay down under the table, leaving only his knapsack and coat in the leaves. Towards morning, the giants woke up, and speaking in whispers, they decided to tickle their guest with a club. If he's such a strong fellow, he'll hardly feel a thing, they laughed. And together they fell upon the empty coat and knapsack with their clubs. Thinking that was the end of the tailor, they went down to the brook to wash. But the tailor walked out of the cave, and as soon as the poor giants caught sight of him, they took to their heels and fled, shouting, "We're doomed! He'll beat both of us to death!" But the little tailor just stood and laughed and watched them run away, and then set off to seek further adventures. The road took him to a royal town, and just outside its gates, he sat down under a flowering tree, and being tired, he pulled his cap over his eyes and was soon sound asleep. Now, the king was setting off on his afternoon ride, and he saw this fellow sleeping under the tree, and he was puzzled by it. Well, when the tailor woke up, he saw the king standing over him. 7 at a blow, said the king. I could use a strong fellow like you. Oh, why not, your majesty, said the tailor. I've set out into the world to seek my fortune. Perhaps I'll find it right here with you. And so the little tailor entered the service of the king. The king thought the world of him. He gave him a nice house, a pouch of money, and named him commander of his personal guard. The king's officers were not happy. Who knows whether a wanderer like that really killed 7 at a blow or not? they complained to the king. At first the king dismissed their complaints, but then he decided to test the tailor. One morning, he said, "Listen, I have something for you to do. In the woods behind the castle, there is a wild boar, and it's been wreaking havoc in our gardens, and it gores everyone he meets. If you will rid me of him, you shall have anything you wish, even my daughter's hand in marriage. But if you fail, I do not wish to see you again." And sure enough, first thing next morning, the little tailor set out to find the terrible wild boar. He found it easily enough. The boar was furiously rooting up a rose bush by an old chapel just outside the royal gardens. And as soon as it saw the tailor, it lifted its head, grunted, and charged after him. But the stout-hearted tailor was not afraid. He ran as fast as his legs would carry him straight for the chapel. The door of the chapel was open, but instead of running inside, the tailor jumped nimbly to one side just as he reached the entrance, and the wild boar flew through the open door. Before it could stop, turn round, and run out of the chapel again, the tailor had slammed the door shut and locked it. Then, slipping the key into his pocket, he hurried off to his master. "The wild boar is trapped," he said to the king, "and here's the key. You may send for it and then prepare the wedding." The king was glad to be rid of the beast, but he was in no hurry to have the wedding just yet. "Oh, we'll have the wedding soon enough. But I have another task for you. Over there in the mountains live two giants, and these giants are the terror of my whole realm. They rob and murder, and no one's safe. If you will rid us of them, my daughter and my throne are yours. But if you fail, never show yourself here again." Everyone thought the little tailor must surely give up and leave, but he laughed. "Oh, if it's nothing worse than that, Your Majesty, order the wedding to be prepared. Tomorrow I'll go and have a look at these giants. Why, I believe I even know them. If I can kill seven at a blow, I can kill them too." So next morning, the little tailor set off into the mountains to find the giants. About noon, he came to the edge of the forest, jumped down from his horse, and continued on foot. It wasn't long before he was at the giant's cave. They had just had their lunch, and they were sleeping in the grass beside a tree, snoring so loudly the trees around them shook. But the little tailor was not afraid. He filled his pockets with stones and very quietly climbed up an oak tree. And when he reached the top, he threw a stone down at one of the giants. His aim was good, and he hit the giant right on the nose. The giant jumped up as if something had stung him, looked all around, and then shouted gruffly at his brother, "Hey, why did you punch me in the nose? Why don't you let me sleep?" "I didn't punch you in the nose," grumbled the second giant. "You must have been dreaming. Go back to sleep and let me sleep too." The first giant was satisfied. He rolled over on his other side, and in a little while, both were sound asleep again, and the trees shook with their snoring. But the little tailor did not let them sleep for long. He took another stone and threw it at the second giant, and he hit him full in the ear. "Ow! Why did you punch me in the ear? Why can't you let me sleep?" he shouted to his brother. "I didn't punch you in the ear," growled the first giant. "You must have been dreaming. Go back to sleep. Leave me alone." The second giant was satisfied, rolled over on his side, and soon they were both sound asleep. But the little tailor again did not let them sleep for long. He took two stones this time and threw them both at once, and he struck both giants on the forehead. They leapt up as if someone had struck them with a pitchfork, and they started in at each other. "Why'd you hit me?" "I didn't. You hit me. It was you hit me." Word followed upon word, blow upon blow, and soon both giants reached for their clubs and beat each other so long that at last both lay lifeless on the ground under the oak tree. And so the tailor cut off their heads and carried them back to the king. "The giants are dead, Your Majesty, and here are their heads. Now you may send for the treasure and prepare the wedding, really and truly." Well, the king was glad to be rid of the giants, and there was nothing to do but arrange a magnificent royal wedding. And the little tailor took the princess as his wife. And because the king had no son, he became heir to the throne. And no one suspected the king's heir was once a poor tailor. No one knew that he once sewed coats and trousers for the poor people of his village. And he, in turn, became a very good and kind ruler himself.